Once more under the breach, dear friend.
They'll close the wall up with our English dead.
Anyway, our ladies and gentlemen, with another exciting second hour of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And today, ladies and gentlemen, is National Pi Day. You're aware of that. It's actually International Pi Day. And because, for those of you who don't know, this is 3.14. And actually, 0.15 has already gone by. That was about an hour ago because we're on daylight savings time,
Zulu time. Just look at the year. It's 3/14/15. So,
it's March 3/14/15. But yeah, so, yeah. Well, it is 3/14/15. And then you have to catch what is after 15? What's the numbers that come after 15?
I don't know, and don't really care.
But that's the exact time in Universal Standard Time. It's actually Universal Coordinated Time, UCT, which is used to be called Greenwich Mean Time, and they decided they'd go politically correct and not be mean anymore. But the telephone numbers you can call us in here are 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400. I think 9:26 a.m. and 53 seconds would have been 314-15-9265.
So that was earlier today. So it was pi earlier today.
Yes.
So we have a caller on 773-1400. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Pi Day to you there.
Well, thank you very much. And Pi, we don't know the exact time it happened because the Earth isn't perfectly round, so it didn't work out perfectly, but that's all right.
Yeah, we've got to apply Pi to the time zone in question.
Yes.
Well, as for me, I'm not going to clutter my mind with those little details.
Okay.
But that's not really what I called you about. I was hoping that you'd give a shot at explaining how some numbers get together. You know, money numbers. It seemed like that y'all's...
We do. Yeah, we do. We do, unfortunately, spend a lot of time on that.
Okay. Did you read today's Temple paper?
No.
Okay. Well, that's where I got the numbers from.
Well, give me the numbers.
They're saying that the Bell County Expo Center runs an $800,000 deficit.
Mm-hmm.
It brings in $300 to $400, but then
right.
They say people that go to it bring in $12 million per year.
But that's gross.
Businesses and restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's gross revenues. It's not profits, but yes.
How do they come up with that number?
A lot of surveys. I've been involved a couple of times with people who do this. What they do is they go around to a sample of businesses, and there's a science to knowing how to sample that. And Texas A&M has made a pretty good piece of money doing that. They have a specialty area that does that. And they come in and they do the surveys of the businesses, and they have the businesses say, you know, ask people what brings you to town. In other words, when people come in for an event, for instance, they stay at a hotel or motel, it generally is known by the proprietor of the facility they came in for this event. And so they can track it there, and then they can look at the increase in business in restaurants. They can look at increases in shopping in other places in the area during the time that these people come in. And by gathering a lot of data, they can make a pretty accurate estimate as to how much new money those people brought in and spent in the area because they came to an event at the Bell County Expo Center.
This is kind of the argument that is used to get public funding for any sports stadium as well. If you think about not just sports stadium, but if you look at like the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, which is a racetrack for Formula One and Grand Prix and a bunch of other stuff, the reality is that no one ever truly knows how much money is brought in by events. It's all estimates because there's too many things to put together. It's very much like our gross domestic product of the United States. It's a very large, hopefully semi-accurate estimate done by looking at the spending habits and the tax revenue that's gathered from spending around events. Now, here's an example. one of those cases, if the Expo Center is having an event and you notice an uptick in the sales tax revenue for the whole area, that's really nice. But unless you see it coincide with every event at the Bell County Expo Center, it's really hard to tell.
That can be coincidental. The issue is, and I know that Bell County's done this, they've actually brought in a team of graduate students from Texas A&M who have gone around and done the surveys and then handed out forms for businesses to ask people, are you here for the, I don't know if you've ever, I've actually, when one of those events is going on and I go into a business, I've noticed that sometimes I get asked, are you here for the Bell County, you know, or for the thing that's going on? And I say, no. You think, well, they're just being nice to ask. In fact, they're probably going back and writing down that data because they get paid some pittance for doing that. Or in some cases, they don't get paid for it. It's just a matter of they know it's that gathering that kind of data is critical to making decisions for the community. We've seen a lot of that.
You know, the Expo Center, you know, as far as I know, I try to keep up with what's happening in the community the best I can. And really, there's not that many that I see, you know, big draws that people would be coming from way far away to come up to.
Well, they don't have to come from way far away. They can come from Austin or from Dallas.
Well, you know, what are they going to have in the Expo Center that they don't have in Austin that would be a draw?
Rodeos and gun shows and stock shows. Yeah,
that's a big one right there. Gun shows. Travis County will not any long. Well, the city of Austin will not allow gun shows inside the city limits anymore. So Travis County has an Expo Center, but they don't have as many gun shows out there as the Bell County Expo Center does.
Yeah.
People come up from Austin for the gun shows here.
Good. Yeah, but I can't imagine that since they're just an hour away that they're going to, you know, register and spend the night in a motel.
They do.
Sometimes.
They do. If you're going to be up here for 3 days, are you going to drive back and forth all 3 days? I mean, this is what happens. People come from Dallas, and I trust those numbers. One of the things that
trust
public officials...
with a grain of salt.
Yeah, when public officials make an announcement like that, particularly in Bell County, I think you're going to find there's a very high probability that they have an independent, objective study from a well-respected organization that's gone in and done this, just as they've done in many other places. And it's in that organization's best interest to get it right. Why is it in their interest to get it right? Because they want somebody else to hire them, too. And one thing you can look at, and I know that was actually done when we first built the Expo Center. I can remember this because I was very active in the Chamber of Commerce.
Because you're old. You can just
It dramatically increased the hotel motel occupancies, and there was a whole bunch of facilities and restaurants and so on that were built after the Bell County Expo Center. When they built that thing out there, there was nothing out there. And as if you look around in the area and you look at the growth in occupancy of hotels and motels and the people who came into restaurants who weren't coming in before.
Here's one that
there was a huge differential.
Great example. Salado, Texas. We know Salado because that's where our office is. It's a grand metropolitan area. I mean, no, it's a village. It's a tiny village. People do not go to Salado to stay in motels, generally. They will go to stay in a bed and breakfast. Mm-hmm. There aren't a whole lot of bed and breakfasts. You know, there's some.
And there is.
Nice,
there are two new motels there.
There are two new, relatively large motels, and they are there for a reason. They're not there so that people can crowd into Salado and spend a great deal of time there. They're there because the local area is having conferences and stock shows, and the Bell County Expo Center has a lot to do with that. So does the county courthouse, but that's a different matter.
Really, the two new facilities in the Salado area, up on the north end of Salado, one of them is the something Holiday Inn Express, and the other. Anyway, they're high-rise sort of places, and they look like big boxes, and they're not a very romantic place to stay, obviously. And they tend to fill up during these events, which occur pretty much weekly.
The gun shows, you think?
Pardon me?
The gun shows?
Gun shows, the stock shows, rodeos, you name it, whatever it is. They are among the closest
concerts,
modern facilities to the Bell County Expo Center. And as a result, they fill up and empty out with those events. So you can say that I actually used to be associated with a guy who used to manage one of those. Knew him fairly well, and he told me that the only reason that's there is because of the bill that they built those new buildings. So,
yeah,
you look at the impact of building two new buildings here, and the people that were employed to build them, and the people coming in to stay there, and then those people had to eat somewhere, and if you add it all up, and you can make a pretty good estimate on that.
If you look at the hotel motel tax, that's a pretty stiff tax. If you look at the state of Texas. State of Texas taxes are relatively low, and then you get hotel motel, and there's this kind of big jump.
Yeah, the whole rub of the little article in the paper was that Burroughs wanted to do an increase in the hotel motel tax to
pay for the expo center.
The reason why hotel motel taxes exist is to pay for more tourism. There's a limit to what you can use that tax money on. You can't use it to build roads unless it's a road at a tourist location.
But let's go back to the motel there, because I'm trying to get this straight in my head. So they have the gun show, at the expo center.
Hold on, I'm flexing my muscles. I'm doing a gun show right here.
Okay. Oh, gun show right there.
There we go.
Well, y'all should be on TV. Maybe someone wants to see that.
You don't want to see me on TV.
We have great faces for radio.
Yeah.
Oh, great faces for radio. Yeah. Ideal. but here's how it would work is that, in my thinking, let's say that these here motels that you got there in Salado, and they're having the gun show, and you fill them up for 3 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
The people that work at that motel, they're not driving in from Austin or San Antonio to make the beds, to wash the sheets, to take the money, to carry the stuff.
They live here.
They live here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be kind of paid there, be paid to be there even on the days that, they don't have the gun show.
Well, they are, unless there's no gun shows. And then they're going to cut the number of people that are working there, and ultimately that causes, and what it really boils down to, I presume you live in a house that you own, right?
Yes.
Okay, and the price of your house is set by something. It's demand, and it's supply and demand. The more people who move here to work at the Bell County Expo Center or at those motels, or better yet, in many cases, the people who stay here and don't move away because we don't have an expo center. If we don't have an expo center, by the way, our expo center is antiquated at this point. And
that's why they're doing an antique roadshow there, because it's an antiquated
one. Well, no, you were talking about the fact that you don't see a lot of big activity there. There used to be a lot more activity there than there is now. And as other areas like Lubbock and a lot of other places become more attractive because they have a better place to have a meeting, we lose business.
And Round Rock,
if you want to see,
lot on building up the facilities for being a tourist destination.
Right, and if you want to see what happens when a city or community, in this case a larger community here in Central Texas, does not reinvest in things like this, and they decide to get fiscally conservative and just say, well, we got what we need, we don't need to spend any more money, just drive around in the older parts of the business district in Temple.
Or Killeen.
And Killeen doesn't have that much ruin. We're building abandoned buildings and ruination.
Right.
But Temple still has boarded up buildings, and it goes all the way back to decisions made decades ago not to expand, not to do things like the Expo Center.
Well, we got a big beep going there.
Yeah, that was a
little feedback.
One of those machines you were talking about.
Well, is your radio on?
Start smoking?
Is your radio on?
Yeah, it's on real soft in a whole different room.
Okay, well, then it was probably here.
Yeah, when you raise your voice a little bit like that, it just...
Oh, well, I raise my voice.
Yeah.
I can do
anyway,
that.
So that's the
I
point.
I have power, you know.
You have great power.
There are some good studies, and if they brought in a firm and they said, hey, spending money on the Expo Center is worthless, you probably would be better putting your money into new roads or something, then they probably wouldn't have come out and said this. But fundamentally, if Bell County, if Central Bell County is going to maintain property values and we're going to maintain people living here and not moving away and we're not going to wither away, we've got to keep investing in infrastructure and we got to keep investing in things that bring people here and cause them to discover this area.
See, I'm not that worried
about it.
I live in Austin. I don't, you know, we got
lots of stuff
here.
Well, in Austin, the objective is to try to drive people off.
Yeah, we got too much traffic, so
yeah.
I would like it if Bell County would start spending.
If you, you know, really take a look at it, the more bling you get, there's a lot of people that are just like little, you know, like cats chasing after a cat food sack being chased.
Yeah.
You know, if they got something pretty, they're running. Run into it,
yep.
And say,
it's
ooh,
true,
or whatever. And,
but if you look at the budgets of the city of Austin and the budgets of the amount of money that's pouring in there, the new taxes coming in, the new businesses starting, and the amount of pay going towards, I mean, if you look at average pay of someone in Austin versus average pay in Bell County, you're going to find some pretty shocking numbers. Austin is a good place to live. Because they've been reinvesting in themselves, because they've been making it a better place, they're making it an easier place for businesses to form. And one of the reasons that exists is because public money is spent on parks, on recreation, on convention centers,
yeah.
on places that people can go for pleasure, because people don't go to places that are boring.
That's well, a fact.
I mean, if you think about the conference capital of the United States, the place that
lost wages.
Yes, Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Lost
no,
wages.
No, not New Mexico. Nevada.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not New Mexico. There is a Las Vegas in New Mexico, and people don't go there on conference. They go to Las Vegas, Nevada, because a lot of money's been spent on making it fun to be there. Now, I find it ludicrous that there are financial conferences that are being done in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's got to be
But it says something.
Weird.
It says something amazing.
It says something about the people who go to the conferences, too. Well, thank you for calling. Have a good weekend.
Happy Pi Day.
All right. Happy Pi Day to you, too.
It is Pi Day.
I was telling you, pi are not squared. Pi are round. Just important to know. I've never seen a pi square. I've only ever seen a pi that's round.
That's right. I could not argue with that. You are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. Telephone numbers in here are 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
And we could play some commercials at this point.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Okay, we're going to play some commercials, and we'll be blatantly...
commercial ourselves.
Yeah, capitalist, and we'll be back on the other side. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And the first thing we want to say coming on is that advertisement about risk-free investment is bogus.
Bogus.
Do not go there.
We warned the folks at Town Square that if they played that one on our program again, those of you that are listening online don't know what we're talking about, and that's fine. There was an advertisement that just came on that said, this is better than every 401k, better than
an IRA,
guaranteed, and they said all this stuff. And the reality is that it's a life insurance program that pays a massive commission to the salespeople. The program that was just... aired, that advertisement that was just aired, was completely legal because all it was advertising was a brochure, a free brochure that you can call up and get. Now, in that brochure, it tells you who to call to get this other thing, and if that person ever told you exactly what was in that commercial, it would be illegal.
And
so
it's
a scam.
Yeah, and it's...
It's not a true scam in that there is really a product involved, but the promises given in that commercial were absolutely ludicrous.
And frankly, false. I mean, absolutely false.
There is no secret group of people on Wall Street that knows how to make money when other people don't.
There are. And they generally wind up wearing orange jumpsuits.
Right. Because the rules that for insider trading are actually enforced. When people are caught for that, they go to prison.
There's a guy whose last name is Ackman. I can't remember his first name right now. He has a relatively successful hedge fund. And he's under the kind of investigation that generally results in prosecution for manipulating Herbalife stock. And that type of thing, for whatever it's worth, you probably heard about hedge funds and how wonderful their returns were and things of that nature.
They haven't been for a while.
No, and what you don't hear about is when they're terrible and how many of them fail and how many of them, when they fail, it's like we were talking about the Enron 401k. They have restrictions in most hedge funds on how much money you can take out. And they have restrictions in some cases that says you can't take the money out unless you get their permission. And when they start to see withdrawals, in many cases it's because they're failing. And in a lot of cases, and it happens again and again, you don't hear about it unless you read the financial news.
So that's kind of
They just kind of fold up and give back people 20 cents on the dollar.
That's right. The casinos in Vegas do not put in their advertisements the people that are crying in their beer because they lost all their money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it for just a second, those many billion-dollar casinos did not build themselves for free. The money came from people losing money in bets.
And also, the life insurance products that they were offering, they have some fundamental risks in that they are not insured by anybody except themselves in many cases. There is a state guarantee fund that may or may not pay.
They may have coinsurance with another place, but that doesn't hold up if it fails many cases.
I used to know an actuary who was the chief actuary for a pretty good-sized life insurance company, and he told me a lot of fascinating things, like only a small percentage, and they depend on this, only a small percentage of the people who take out a long-term life insurance policy, and that's the kind that we're talking about here, whole life guarantee, an insurance policy where the cash value is built up and it's a supposedly steady interest rate unless you want to take the money out, and they typically have a 15-year surrender charge.
Well, yeah, so you may have a cash value of something, but when you say, I want that money, they say, no, you have a lot less than that if you actually want to take it out.
Yeah, it's there unless you want it. And they also make an assumption, and the assumption is only a small minority of the people. Now, these are whole life policies that are designed to pay off when you die, because you will die.
Well, I don't know about it.
And only a small percentage.
I intend to live forever, and so far, so good, sir. Yeah. So far, so good.
And the argument is, you know, when you die, this pays. But there's an assumption in there, and the assumption is that you haven't either failed to make premium payments or the life insurance company hasn't gone under, or you have retained the policy that long, because what happens is the vast, vast majority of people surrender their life insurance policy before they die. And in many, many cases, and I have seen so many of these cases where people get back less than they put in. And even though they were promised these huge gains, Prudential Insurance Company got in big trouble in Texas years ago because they gave out all these performance charts and their numbers and everything else, and people were routinely finding, after they had invested in this life insurance policy, and I say invested because that's the term that was used, years later when it was supposed to have had tremendous amounts of money in it, they were contacted by the insurance company and said, if you don't put a bunch more money in, your life insurance policy will expire. And, of course, the majority of them didn't put a bunch more money in because they didn't have the ability, because they'd been sucking money into it monthly for a long term. Have I seen this happen? Yeah, I've seen it happen. And I've seen it happen when I've been involved in it a few times. But I can tell you that it is that's the reality. And my suggestion to people is that you don't go for some advertisement like this where somebody promises you pie in the sky down the road. If you're lucky, and the company doesn't go under and some other company takes it over where it doesn't go under, then you may come out with a gain or you may not come out with a gain down the road. But the risks there are very, very high in a fixed life insurance policy like that, or this, by the way, includes the index policy. So there's just a lot of risk there that they don't disclose. That's all we got to say.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach. The telephone number is in here, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
Let's see. Yeah, on that subject, while we're at it, Wall Street Journal, I like reading the Wall Street Journal, you probably figured that out, has a column, a series in there called Fund of Information. And, we got a call here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just go to the call. 773-1400, you're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead. Hello.
Caller.
Oh, hung up.
He's
well,
gone.
Scared him off. That was it.
I'm scared.
Anyway, the Hussmann Strategic Growth Fund has, if you follow mutual funds, and we do, has been all over the place about what a genius John Hussmann is and what absolutely a wonderful thing. Basically, he called the 2000 downturn, 2000 through 2002, and as a result, his fund made money from 2000 through 2002. He sailed through 2009, basically didn't lose money in that one either, and became a favored guru of an example how a brilliant fund manager can avoid losing money. By 2009, $10,000 invested in the fund. In 2000 was $20,000. And I mean, people were flooding money into this fund. However, his call, what he kept saying was, I know how to avoid downturns in the market. And he's right. He did. He was very successful at avoiding downturns in the market. However, he's continued to avoid downturns in the market, so that $10,000 is now shrunk dramatically, and a lot of money has been flowing out of there, so that the average annual return of a person who started in that fund in 2000 is now a negative 3.7%. And that means that $10,000 is now worth $6,860. What's the lesson? There's two lessons that you can take away from that. One, attempting to invest with the purpose of avoiding loss is likely to result in a bigger loss than you're going to like. Listen to that again. Attempting to invest with the purpose of avoiding loss is very likely to invest in it is to create a loss much larger than you're going to be comfortable with. You save to avoid losses. You put it in the bank with FDIC insurance to avoid losses. You buy T-bills to avoid losses, and you get no return, but you avoid a loss. The second thing that you can take in there from this is that when you find some genius who manages somehow to beat all the odds and knock the ball out of the park consistently over several years, it's probably a really, really bad idea to invest there, no matter how good it looks. The best way to remember that, and it's a little key that I have when I talk to people, Babe Ruth still holds one National League record.
Yep.
And you know what it is.
I do. Strikeouts.
Yes. And that's the point. Having a good, well-balanced portfolio is extremely valuable, but this is the rule. If you want a return above that you can get in a bank CD or a T-bill, you're going to have to accept downturns. And the downturns get bigger with the rate of return that you would like to have over the long term. The higher the rate of return that you want to have over the long term, the greater the downturns you will experience in the short term. That is a rule of investing that is Nobel Prize after Nobel Prize won by reproving that over and over again. And it is that risk-return ratio that it's all about. If you want to avoid losing all your money, you want to avoid losing great quantities of money, then give it a time horizon that you can tolerate and be well-diversified. And that's the key to investing. Investing is different from saving. When somebody confuses savings with investment, when somebody says something that's true about savings in a bank where there's FDIC insurance, which is there's no risk of loss of your money, and at the same time tells you you will get a higher return than you can get in that same bank or in a T-bill, they're one of two things going on. They're either ignorant, dangerously ignorant, or they're lying to you. And you can write that down 100 times, and you can go to anybody that offers you that, and they can challenge me on it, and they'll lose. After many years, I can tell you this is a fact. You are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach. Telephone numbers in here remain 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
And we have more commercials for you. We've only got about three of them, so if you can stand 3 minutes of commercials, then you can come back on the other side and give us a telephone call and ask us a question, or not, as the case may be. But we'll be back on the other side with more.
Some people just listen to our blathering. They don't add their own. It's a horrible situation.
Well, probably has something to do with the economic condition and the intelligence of the county rising and falling according to the seasons.
Well, I think we lower the IQ of the county every week,
yes,
at least for 2 hours.
Well, we don't want people here to get too smart for their own good.
No, no. Teachers have been telling me that for years. Don't get smart with me.
That's it. So we'll be back on the other side of these commercials with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And again, we're going to disclaim a commercial.
That one. Real estate has its own risks. And anytime somebody says that you can buy real estate without using your own money or your own credit, there's obviously a catch.
I think maybe if you were a member of Congress, you could do that.
Right. Well, there is a way of doing this, and it's been done quite a bit recently. There are a lot of vacant houses for a while in Florida and in, of all places, Las Vegas. And if they'd been foreclosed on and nobody was looking at them, squatter's law applies. If you can live in the house for 7 years, you can do it without any money or credit.
Without anybody noticing that you're doing it.
Right. Well, they do have to, the law for getting you out of the house is the same as if you're a valid resident.
There is, in fact, if you leave out the goofy stuff that he was saying about none of your own money, you don't have to borrow any money, no risk, and
right,
six-figure income. If you leave that out, there's some fact here. And the fact is that there are people who buy houses at auction,
mm-hmm,
when they've been foreclosed, that are beat-up houses. They go in themselves. They really can't afford to pay somebody to do this and make a profit. They go in themselves and they fix up that house. They put a lot of time and money,
that's
of their own money,
sweat equity,
and their own effort into this house.
Elbow
and
grease.
And then they turn around and sell it for more than they paid for it at auction. And some of them have made some pretty reasonable money on this. However, having met with several people who have done this consistently over years, so far I have yet to encounter one that has a six-figure net annual income.
No.
Now, they're making money. Don't misunderstand me, but it's a high-risk operation. It involves investing a lot of their own money, their own time, and they have to have their own expertise, and they can't have another job. In most cases, these are retired people. And yeah, they have, sometimes they sell them and sometimes they rent them out, and there is a risk factor there. A bunch of them got burned really badly in 1991.
Yeah, another bunch of them got burned really badly in 2008.
So in one of these days down the road, it'll sweep through this part of the country again, and a lot of people will lose a lot of money. And yes, money can be made in buying and selling real estate.
Or anything else, for that matter.
Yeah.
If you're talking about buying and selling.
But it isn't risk-free, and
no,
it isn't free.
Anytime somebody says guaranteed or risk-free, and they're not the bank. The bank has a massive government sitting behind it with insurance programs.
Massive.
And our
and the
tax
ability
revenues
to print money.
And the ability to tax to print money. If you're talking about real estate, you're talking about stocks, if you're talking about insurance, if you're talking about any of that, there is risk. And I realize that we're pounding on this one today, but
they're running the commercials today.
It's at times like this that things are starting to look up. People are looking around and going, we made it through the Great Recession, and I'm looking at my retirement coming up, and I need to do something about it. Beware the guaranteed statements. If somebody says this is guaranteed and it's better than everything else, it's going to make you more money than anything else, that doesn't pass the common sense test. If it were guaranteed and it made more money than everything else, then why are you hearing about it from this secretive group of people on radio advertisements that you've never heard of before? Why isn't it sweeping the nation? Why isn't everyone
It either is going to sweep the nation, or they're going to keep it really, really secret.
Not on the radio.
And any time that somebody tries to convince you that there's some secretive way of making a lot of money and
what's funny is that
it ain't real.
What they generally say when they're saying this is that there's a secret out there that you don't know, that the Wall Street people know, and so you shouldn't try to compete with them. But I have a secret that nobody else knows, and you can pay me for that secret. Mm-hmm. And what I've found in these situations is that the people that are making money and telling people how to make money are making money by telling people how to make money, but not by following their own advice.
Well, let's switch gears here just a little bit. Oil.
Black gold. Texas tea.
You've noticed that the price of gasoline went up a little bit.
Yep.
And I want to make a forecast here. It's going to come back down.
Yep.
And what happened on the went up a little bit is a bunch of people jumped in and pumped some money into the system to run the prices up so they could get out of their short positions without losing their shirts.
It's already happening. We jumped up to $52 mm-hmm. a barrel. It is now down to $45, which is actually lower than it's been before. So prices will come back down.
It is likely, the price of oil is likely, I really was hesitant to think this was possible before, but I think it is possible to see oil at $20. And the reason, which, by the way, will probably have a profound effect on the gas pump prices, the reason I think it's going to happen is the flow of oil from oil fields is still increasing. Again, it's a case of there's a lot of wells that were drilled with borrowed money, and they got to pump the oil
because they got to pay the loan.
Even at a reduced price per barrel, they got to pump the oil to keep paying the bills, and that's going on all over the world right now. The problem, the thing that will probably force oil prices down more is, and there's different estimates on this, but the International Energy Association, IAEA, International Association, anyway, whatever they are, has noted that the storage capacity in the United States is around 80%. We filled up about 80%. And at the 80% point, it's in the upper 70s, it becomes inefficient. So there's storage capacity that you can't get the oil to.
Or out of.
And the oil companies are choosing to leave the oil in the ground right now because of that. But they still got the bills to pay. They're still pumping.
That means we've got a pent-up supply.
And by the way, even though we've seen a reduction in the number of drilling rigs, there are still drilling rigs out there drilling holes in the ground.
Yeah.
The price of oil is going – now, this has some interesting effects. Another interesting event that was unanticipated by the economists was the collapse of the value – I say collapse. The dropping of the value of the euro across the board – has been far more severe than most economists and certainly than the central banks in Europe expected. And it is creating a deflationary threat both here and in Europe. The Chinese, we're not in a currency war yet, but if the Chinese were to devalue, which they are considering, it would be an interesting deflationary event going on. This is one of those things where, folks, the Federal Reserve is trying to figure out when to raise interest rates.
Yeah.
And in Europe and the rest of the world, they're trying to figure out how far below zero they can get interest rates and still keep them working. You just need to give thanks to God that you're in the United States of America. Because one of the reasons our interest rates, by the way, have stayed as low as they have been, and likely to stay low and inflation to stay gone, is the quantity of money from the rest of the world that's pouring into the United States as a safe haven.
Not just a safe haven. If you look at the switch in the dollar from the euro, they've had a 30% or 50% jump in the value of what they've just put into dollars. That's not even – if you look at what the stock market's doing.
And we pay interest on top of it.
Right. If you put money in the stock market or put money in treasuries in the United States and we're paying interest and the euro is falling and the dollar rising, they're making money hand over fist. Pretty cool.
One of the great ironies is so many people in the United States are so distrustful of and so convinced their government is bankrupt, while literally the rest of the world is convinced this is the only healthy economy and the only healthy government left on the planet.
Well, there's something really cool about this. So those of you that just heard that and said heard the convinced that our government is bankrupt, the reason why our government is not bankrupt and probably is not likely to be bankrupt is because so many people like our listeners, like us, are worried that at some point we will be. The rest of the world blithely goes about borrowing and spending as if it were no big deal. They don't have huge portions of their political base going, hey, slow down. In fact, what they have is a lot of people complaining that they're slowing down when they shouldn't be. So keep that in mind. Part of the reason why we are so optimistic about the way the government is being run, even though we don't like the way the government is being run, is because there are so many people that are pessimistic about it. And we're counting on you to stay pessimistic. Otherwise, bad things will happen.
The paranoia is a little beyond pessimism. Okay?
Yeah, well, even paranoids have enemies.
Yes.
Someone tells me that regularly.
Yes, yes. That is my motto. Remember, even paranoids have enemies.
Yes, yeah. And they're all out to get you.
But it's let me give you another little piece of good news as we end up our second hour here today. The Federal Reserve goes out once a year, and it runs stress tests on all the major financial institutions in the United States. And, by the way, for the...
You should see the size of the treadmill they use. It's
well, you got it.
Massive.
The people in the banks are terrified of those things, by the way, because they don't... It's not like they run the same test every year.
No, it's different every time.
They go in, there's a whole section of the Federal Reserve that sits around all year and thinks up worst-case scenarios, nightmares, little shop of horrors.
What would happen if Russia invaded? What would happen if all of the banks in Germany failed tomorrow?
Simultaneously. And what they do is they give this whole series of possibilities that would throw the world basically into a depression. They string them all together, and they apply them to all the major banks in the United States.
And now, they say, would you survive?
Here's the good news. The worst-case scenario in this last run through the banks was you can't raise your dividends. There were several banks who were told you can't raise your dividends that you're paying out until you build up your reserves a little further. But the majority of banks passed with flying colors in the United States, which is really good.
If you applied the same stress test to the vast majority of banks in Europe, they would fail.
That's right. And this is... You're living in a country where we apparently have actually learned something from history.
Oh, that's crazy.
The Federal Reserve has applied it, and it is it seems to have worked very, very well. The rest of the world is starting to emulate what we did, only they're coming a little late to the party.
There's a couple of things that I want to hit. The IRS just came out and said that there's a scam going on out there while you're filing your taxes. Make sure that if you owe a fine based on the new fines for Obamacare for not being covered, make sure that the check that you're writing says U.S. Treasury on it, not a person's name. The IRS says that a lot of people, unscrupulous tax preparers, are collecting quite a lot of money from people by saying, yeah, you owe a fine that they don't actually owe, and they have to pay it to the tax preparer instead of to the U.S. Treasury. That's not a good thing. When the IRS has noticed the scam, it's generally hitting a lot of people.
Yes, and there's a lot of scams, by the way, going on, and they're being addressed, but still they're out there, where people file for your income tax information. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And they basically file and get your refund. So
that's not nice.
No, it's not. Of course, you could be like me and always pay every year. So
yeah,
I kind of
want somebody to file my taxes and get my bill. That would be nice.
Well, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and we are down to less than 2 minutes left in the show on this Pi Day.
On the shoe?
This
the
is
pie?
This
the
is
pie in the
this
shoe?
Is Pi Day. This is 3:14.
15.
15. And we really hope that you've enjoyed listening to this. But if you'd like to talk to us off the air, if you'd like to leave a message for us, you're certainly welcome. We have voicemail during the weekend, and we have real live, very nice human beings who answer the phone during the week. And we do manage people's money, so we know a little about what we're doing here. You can give us a call locally at 947-1111, or
you can also reach us toll-free at 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can email us directly, jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com. You can go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com or tpwc.com. You can listen to podcasts. You can read our philosophy. You can see our made-for-radio faces. You can read about what we do and how we do it, and that's I recommend doing it. But you do need to take your psychiatric medication at higher doses after visiting that site or listening to this program.
And, again, if anything sounds like it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. There is no wealth without risk.
So until next week, this has been the Personal Wealth Coach.